Dun 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 dun. Gloucestercast 302.
Oh my goodness.
We're cranking through them. We have some things to announce, some dates that are coming up.
Yes, exciting dates.
First day of cool air. I consider this is like our first chilly day.
Well, was it 40 when you got up this morning? It was 40 when around 6 o'clock. It was 40. Was it colder?
I think so. I didn't have frost on the car.
Okay, well, that's good.
but I did not, knowing that it was cold, I knew, they said they had forecast 37 degrees for when we woke up this morning. I thought I dressed warm enough, but I still had a little chill.
I'm not ready to see frost. Do you feel like we haven't had an Indian summer? I feel like we haven't really had an Indian summer. You know, like it gets cold, and then we get like a nice warm stretch for like a couple more weeks.
Had a nice warm dry stretch. Right. We've had like 3 weeks of pus.
Yeah,
it's been horrible. Like, no, it's been really cold and damp and rainy. Like anybody that has firewood that didn't cover it up is not having a good time trying to get their fire lit.
I read that something about Indian summer can't officially happen until after there's been at least one hard frost.
There you go. All right, we're gonna announce our
definition.
We're gonna announce our guest. Catherine Ryan is with us today.
Good morning.
Heidi Dallin is here with us today.
Good morning.
Pat Dalpiaz is
with us. Good morning, Gloucester.
Kim Smith is with us.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And we have a couple special guests that we'll announce when they get in the room. Yesterday was another rainy Saturday morning.
Yes.
Cold and rainy. And my daughters had soccer. So
of course they did.
Which is fine.
The weekend.
I had a great time. I used an umbrella, right? So normally I try to be the tough guy that doesn't wear it and use an umbrella, but I found it's a little bit more comfortable when you use the umbrella.
Yeah.
The big golf umbrella, the big obnoxious golf umbrella. So I really was fine, perfectly dry.
You didn't poke anybody's eyes.
Didn't poke anybody's eyes, though. But so we went I went to Madeline and Eloise's game, and then from there we went to Kate's son Connor's game over on the Magnolias Field. But the point that I'm getting
to—that's a lot of hours standing outside in the cold.
It was chilly, but whatever. It was fun. I could watch the kids play soccer all day long. It's one of my favorite things.
Good parents.
So
good
fun.
Parents. Yeah.
So here's the thing, though. I get to the field in Magnolia. And if you've ever been to the Magnolia soccer field, where it's kind of like there's the house, the Italian kind of house, the brick kind of.
Yeah.
And then behind there's the parking lot, and then the field kind of dips down.
Yes,
so, you know, if you're looking at it from the parking lot, you're looking down at the field.
You're looking down, right.
So I'm looking down, and there's this structure. And it is like a tent, sort of, with clear plastic on the sides, a green back. And it's called the weather pod.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. It looks so nice.
That's the post.
So you saw the post, right?
Yeah.
Our friend Jen Brooks, iconic, one of the best runners in Gloucester, right? She wins all these races. She's a beast. Her kids are phenomenal athletes. Her with her husband Rick Shalino, and they're great parents. Like the way they raise these kids. But anyway, she's the one sitting in this. Weather pod.
That
and
looks so nice.
So at first, I'm like, when I found out it's Jen, I'm like, I have to go rib her for this thing, because you have to kind of give, because it's so kind of outrageous. And as the game is going on, and she's sitting dry and comfortable inside of the weather pod, I'm like, who's the dumber? So the question, you know, when I was composing the post, at the field, when I took the pictures of her and said, is this a brilliant move or is this like the softest move you've ever seen in your life? And I'm like, I think it's brilliant. But I couldn't do that. As a man holding my man card, you would get it. If you're a man, full size man like me, with an outdoor job, and you just can't.
You just can't do this.
You can't do
this. The optics are bad on that.
Optics are very bad. I agree with you. Great, 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 great term right there. So what do you think? I mean, are you all in? You have children that play outdoor sports.
Well, I like the little British see-through umbrella.
The one that comes down over
umbrella.
The bubble umbrella?
Yeah, like the 1960s, because I just think it's fun and you can see through it.
Yeah.
And I like to stand up because I like to move.
yeah.
in the field. But I have kids at the same game at the same time. If I had like multiple games for the entire day, I think it's smart. And I think if you are an athlete and a runner, which she is, it's probably also taken care of.
She goes to, yeah. I mean, she got three kids. They're all playing within it. So she's just been like, I've had it. I'm like,
it's also, Magnolia is really, it can be really wet and really cold. Because windy there.
The really windy, really cold field is the one that was built on the dump.
That's
that one is always, it doesn't matter if it's the middle of the summer, it's cold.
Yeah.
There's no protection. The wind comes right off the ocean, and it is always, and it seems like it's always damp there too.
Soaking.
It's always soaking in there. This is the one that's kind of like set down. In the summer, it's actually like a dust bowl. I do. It's kind of cool.
So did you stay? This is another optic. Did you stay because you got a coveted parking spot and sit in your truck and watch the game beneath? Or did you actually get out?
No, we stood outside, I would say, for 90% of the game. I went in for one shift when he went off the field to go inside the car so I could compose the post. Yeah. But otherwise I was outside.
I mean, I think that's the equivalent of the little tent pod personally, if you get that spot. But that little field is so cute to watch from.
I'm not gonna call any parents out or anything, but like, it amazes me how many parents don't go to the games or drop the kids off and don't watch the games.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird to me.
Kind of weird.
Like I love going to those games. Like I love, love, love going to those games.
Yeah, I used to love going to Alex's soccer games. But also, we had two kids too, so there was always one parent at his.
You might have had to split up.
We had to split up sometimes.
But you know, just like what they say on the plaque in the Thomas Lennon office for the schooner, it says there's no such thing as bad weather, just inappropriate clothing. It really is true. Like if you dress appropriately and if you do carry, if you bundle up,
if you have a real good
umbrella and you're dry and you have good footwear and nice thick wool socks, you'd be fine. You can, you know, rather than sit in the car, you're not even cheering your kid on. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
You do have to wear bogs. I mean, you have to wear
like heavy boots,
rubber. Yeah. I mean, because otherwise it doesn't.
You're just drenched.
It's soaked even if it's a sunny day and you're.
A lot of goose poop over there, right? Wasn't there like a big thing about goose poop a couple of years ago?
But you know, I don't remember the name, but there's actually a volunteer resident that has some contraption ride-on machine that
collects the goose poop.
Collects it.
Wow.
God bless him.
Wow.
I wonder where he puts it all.
Huh.
Fertilizer.
I didn't follow the goose poop picker upper to its destination.
No, I just think I love story. I think there's so many stories of these people that do volunteer things that you never hear about.
So we had the weekend coming up, and it was forecast to be a rainy, crappy weekend, and we had the kids, and so Kate, we had this kind of an internal debate in the house about Hocus Pocus. I don't know. Do you guys know about this movie, Hocus Pocus?
There's some very.
There are set camps if you're a pro Hocus Pocus or anti Hocus. Have you seen it?
Speak to it.
Okay. Yeah. Wait. So Kate, beginning of the weekend, knowing it was going to be pouring out on Saturday, she's like, "Oh, we can watch Hocus Pocus," and I'm like, "Oh, please don't make me watch Hocus Pocus." It's right up there with like opera for me. Like I've no.
Oh, really?
Oh, don't say. Oh, like you should want to watch. You want to listen to opera? No, not for me. So, she's like, she goes. Yes, I know it's not an Academy Award winning movie. She goes, but it's all about tradition. I go, listen. I get like the fall traditions. I'm all in for apple crisp. I'll go to the orchard. I'll eat the cider donuts. Pumpkin spice coffee is disgusting. But I'm all in. You want to decorate the house? You want to get the pumpkins and carve the pumpkins with the kids? All in. This movie is crap. It's crap. But and I'm like, if you want to watch it, you know, when I'm at work, I'm inevitably getting out of work late. Watch it with Connor or whatever. You know, if you've feel so strongly about it. So I just, but I think it's a, this movie Hocus Pocus came out in the 90s, which is kind of like, her and I are like a little bit of a, we're a different generation. We're, you know, but like her, so she put a poll on her Facebook page. Hocus Pocus, we have an internal debate in the house. Is it like, is the movie great or is it crap? And on her poll, it was 83% said it's a great movie and it, you have to watch it. And I'm like, of course it, on Facebook,
your friends
of your age group are going to all say this is a great movie. My age group is looking at it like, this is shit. This is such garbage. So anyway, like, you know, we oftentimes we compromise. I'm like, listen, I'll take a nap. I need sleep anyway. You want to watch Hocus Pocus? But my daughters were like, oh, no, I don't want to watch them. Even my daughters didn't want to watch Hocus Pocus.
You know, I think there's going to be a station during Halloween that plays Hocus Pocus 24 hours a day. I heard that.
I wouldn't
on the
be
radio.
Surprised. But so no. So there's this website that I go to all the time, Barstool Sports. They have annual posts about how, like, if you like, this was like an annual post that they did. Like, if you want to like the best pickup line ever, like if you are out at a bar, is you go up to a girl like, oh, I heard Hocus Pocus is going to be on this weekend. And like all these girls of that, like, because they're those guys that write for there are like of that 90s generation.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, that was, you know, everybody, like every girl, like that was the cool thing. They all waited. I'm like, listen, like Frosty the Snowman, all in. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all in. The Grinch, all in. Hocus Pocus is shit. So,
well, really, I think, yeah, I think it's a chick flick too. And it's even later than because my apprentice, one of my apprentices, which, you know, she was like in her mid-20s, was like, oh my God, listen to this music. I'm like, oh, cool. So, and it was all from Hocus Pocus. Like, she was not my current apprentice.
Yeah.
Another one.
All in.
And, oh, and I was like, oh, well, you know, I never really saw the whole movie. I watched the beginning and didn't.
Yeah.
You haven't watched.
Right. That's what it is. But those people.
Yeah, it was never really.
Ours is Heather's or something.
Yeah. Well, what about Love Actually, though? That's the Christmas one. That's a good test.
Love Actually is a great movie.
That's an amazing
Love Actually. Movie. That scene where the guy was in love with
Keira Knightley. And he has the...
Oh, he has the boombox. Oh, my God.
He's the one on The Walking Dead. You know that, right?
I haven't seen The Walking Dead, but
the
I
sheriff.
Know that guy.
I don't watch it either, but...
Yeah, no, but that scene was just like... Oh.
Every single
you
thing.
You felt so bad. Did you? You never saw the movie? You haven't. Okay. Stop right now. When you go home, go to Netflix.
Right.
Or if you don't have Netflix, go to Apple TV. Rent Love Actually. I will personally guarantee you, you personally, for your psyche, because I know your psyche, you will love this movie.
Yeah.
You will love this. Because it's like those British actors, like, you know what I mean? These kind of...
When Emma Thompson...
Oh, she finds that he... Oh, my God.
And she
crushing. Heart crushing.
It's so... Kim, I cannot believe...
I'm writing it
And
down.
It's a Christmas movie, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's definitely... I have friends that watch it every Christmas. I love... If you flip around and it's on, you have to...
Highs, lows, the little kid. Don't give everything away to the little kid that... you know, has the crush on the girl, and then the scene at the end.
The airport.
Oh, everybody! Like, did you see, wait? Are you agreeing or not agreeing? Have you seen it?
You don't like it?
Yes, it's okay.
Yeah. You're dead to me.
Crazy
person. You're a crazy person.
This is reminding me of the debate about whether is I think it's Die Hard. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Have you seen that?
No, I never saw that poll.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that poll.
That's
yeah.
not a Christmas.
Love
not,
Actually is.
That is not a Christmas movie.
No, I know. I would vote
that's
no on that as well. But
Hugh Grant is in it. Emma Thompson.
Tremendous cast. Tremendous.
Alan Rickman.
Yeah,
Liam Neeson.
Yes. Star-studded.
Laura
Linney.
Was it made in the 2000s?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sounds
early,
like a whole
2000s.
Bunch of 2000.
And usually when there's a huge ensemble cast, usually the movies are crap.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
Usually it's a total mess. You see like Madonna, all these like A-list stars, and they have like little bit parts in it. Usually it's totally disjointed and a mess. This was... It pulls your heart in 10 different directions.
And you can watch it a million times.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. 100%. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing it. Yes. One of the best Christmas movies of all time. Yes. Heidi, tremendous tremendous input right there. I just want to give a shout out. My friend Paul Gigoloni, who owns Plus 90 Cigars and always participates in our... Thomas Lennon Cigar and Rum Cruise. Right. He's the other part. You know, Bob Ryan is the rum part of from Ryan and Wood. Plus 90 Cigars does the cigars. He's having a cigar and wine night at Mile Marker October 17th, and you can... I get a link. You can purchase tickets to go to that. It's a Wednesday night, unfortunately. I have my daughters on Wednesday night, so I can't make it.
You're not going to go.
I mean,
okay, well.
I wish I could go, but priorities, right? Let's see. Oh, this is Pat and I was discussing this earlier. We have a date for the Thanksgiving GMG podcast Thanksgiving.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
So you know, you remember
right.
we got.
Right. We're
do you know
food.
About this?
We're making food. No.
We're gonna have a. I'm gonna do a bird on the Weber.
Oh.
Turkey bird. Kim is gonna make her incredible cranberry chutney.
Cranberry relish.
And mashed potatoes.
I hope I have my sense of taste back for that.
I hope so too.
And someone's gonna make stuffing because I love stuffing.
I'm gonna make stuffing, but I'm gonna make it. But this is one of those things where you're nervous about how people are gonna feel about it. Do you feel that way about your cranberry?
You should.
No.
You should.
Yeah, I know.
You definitely should.
Oh boy.
No, because stuffing
is
like when I listen for Thanksgiving. Like one of the only things I care about is
the
stuffing.
Okay.
So I don't want to put pressure on you, but there's a ton of pressure on you.
Do you want some stuffing tips? I'll give you some stuffing
tips. We'll discuss stuffing tips.
Don't fuck up the stuffing.
Well, you
do
know,
not fuck up the stuffing.
Really, you know,
can someone make a pecan pie? Because pecan pie is my favorite pie.
Oh.
I can make a pecan pie.
Okay.
Can you make do you like pecan pie? Some people make pecan pie with like solid pecans. Some people just have all that jelly stuff.
I have a great pecan pie.
I'm going to trust her. I'm going to trust her on this.
I do chestnut stuffing. So I heard you talking about
what's chestnut stuffing. What do you mean?
That's like the traditional New England, I thought. And you were talking about pine nuts.
I don't want
and
chestnut.
Other people were
I don't want chestnuts.
Oh, it's not
my fault. No, you're not doing the stuffing. I don't want your stuffing.
You know what?
I want your pecan pie, but I don't want your stuffing. What I'd like you to do also is take your plate that you brought the cookies on
okay.
a couple weeks ago. It's on the stairs.
Okay.
Because you always leave your trays behind. And they stay here for years and collect mold.
I do?
It's not... I'm just
you
reminding
you. You can just
you.
Chuck it.
I know, but I feel
okay.
bad chucking.
Oh, no, this isn't like precious wear that I bring here.
Next
I
time
learned.
I'll just chuck
if
it.
You come.
No, but I've been walking... It's been on the stairs going... Like,
okay.
I've been walking past it for 2 weeks now, so...
But you know it's
going to I know it probably bothers my co-workers.
Sure. What's a little bit hard about making stuffing when
you don't have the gravy?
You need the pan drippings. Is there any way we could get some pan drippings for Pat? So, because you gotta inject.
Well,
that
I'm gonna
into
start
the
bird. I'm
baking.
Gonna start the bird at 4 o'clock or 4:30.
Oh, okay.
So there's gonna be
There'll be
so it should be done.
Okay.
Around 7:30, and it can sit, right?
Right.
Right.
It can sit.
Right,
can we ask Felicia? I mean, she's such a good cook.
No, because she doesn't like to come down for the podcast.
Oh,
she's like busy and stuff.
So you didn't tell us the date. What is the date?
Oh, so here we are. The date is November 4th.
Okay.
November 4th. So it's going to be great. I can't wait. It's going to be simple. That's all I don't even want any, like those are the items I want. I don't want more than that because we just enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know. We need corn though.
What do you mean corn?
Mm. Veggie, corn.
Okay.
Stuffing, potatoes, relish,
right.
Turkey in it.
Right, if you want corn, you can bring corn.
I'm
probably
corn.
Not going to eat the corn, but
that's okay.
What do you mean? How are you going to cook the corn? What are you going to do with the corn?
I'm going to bring it done.
You know what I don't like about corn?
Just,
you know what? You don't have
such a good welcoming.
Yeah, it is.
No, you know
like
what the problem
really
I have with corn?
There,
a lot of times people make the corn and it's all soggy and there's a lot of water in the thing.
Oh, are you talking about cream corn?
No.
Oh,
No. What are you talking about? Are you talking about corn in the car? Corn on the cob? What are you talking about?
Well, to be honest, I was talking about Niblets? A bag of frozen corn and.
Okay. Know. All right. That's all right. When she brings the bag of frozen corn, we want that to be on the end of the buffet. All right. Away from the good stuff. All right. So hold on 1 second.
I'm not shucking corn and.
No, I. All right. So we've established no frozen corn.
We have established that. Clearly. Very clearly.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
But with the stipulation that if you do bring it, it ends up at the end of the buffet.
I hear you.
Okay. Yeah. And maybe we could put a little divider so I don't have to look at it.
Page over the top of it.
Who's invited to that? Anybody can come down for the Thanksgiving one?
No. I don't want moochers because whenever we do that, we get the moochers coming.
Yeah, that's right. The moochers.
You know, the usual suspects that we always talk about?
Yes.
And we've probably talked about them 30 times on the podcast.
I'm sure they don't know who they are.
Because they're totally self-unaware. Because if they were self-aware, they would not do what they do. Okay. Speaking of the moochers, I have to explain it. Because I feel dutifully I should. We had a gallery on Rocky Neck.
Yeah, yeah.
The Good Morning Gloucester Gallery run by our friend EJ, who was wonderful. And she had guest artists on a weekly basis during the summer, and they would have an opening, and we would have a big party for the opening, and so everybody it would be kind of like a potluck thing. So everybody, all of our contributors and the friends of the blog, fans of the blog, would show up, and it was a Sunday morning thing, and it was great. And inevitably, every single opening, there were a couple of people that, so the food, we always put the food all the way at the back of the gallery.
Way in the back.
And they were always packed. So these people would show up, head down, head directly past, weaving through all of the people to the food, get the paper plate, bury it. So that it's folding over on the sides, it's like a balancing act because they had so much food on it, it's like dripping over the sides. Not acknowledge the artist who provided the wine. They get a couple glasses of wine, and then beat feet and leave, and not even say anything to anybody. So that's why we can't have an open Good Morning Gloucester Thanksgiving party, because if we do, you're just inviting the moochers.
Yeah.
Our friends, and you know who you are. Feel free to come. Potluck.
The rest of you should.
We don't want it to be too much. We don't want it to be too much of a shit show, though, because we do have
work. The real purpose is trying to check out how to do your turkey, right?
It is a practice run. I'm planning three of these. I have this one.
This is great.
I'm gonna do a Friendsgiving. With a bunch. Yeah, Friendsgiving.
I just want to know, what do you have against frozen corn? Where did this come from?
Okay, this is what happens with frozen corn as opposed to canned corn.
Tell me.
Because I don't have a problem with canned corn.
Oh, all right. Well,
okay.
That helps.
Frozen corn, what happens, and it's the same way with fish and some other products.
This is IQF.
So this is what happens. There are when things get frozen, there are membranes, and there is moisture. And when it expands and contracts, these membranes break, and it becomes mushy, and the texture is garbage.
Yeah.
And whenever you, in the bottom of the inevitably in the bottom of that thing where they serve the frozen corn that's reheated, it's this disgusting, like cloudy moisture down in the bottom. God, that I can't even. And the texture of the corn, there's no snap to it at all. It's just there is horrendous. So like I feel like that's like government cheese. Anyone that eats frozen corn, that's like Depression era cheese. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
cans. I don't like the can taste of cans.
No, but the can, at least there's a little bit of snap to the corn when you really heat it in the microwave. Mm. Yeah. So if that answers your question.
No, but I mean, you could use the juice. You could make plaster out of it. It's in the you mix it in. It'll give you some body.
Well,
some filler.
There you go.
All right, Mom, you can explain it so even I can understand.
There you go. So I wanted to mention John McElhenney's piece that he wrote yesterday. I'm sorry we have to rehash this, but we had technical difficulties for people that I just can't get the microphone thing straight. Anyway, Mike, our good friend John McElhenney wrote a beautiful piece about his son that's coming of age, and they were at the Gloucester High football game Friday night, and he has all these traditions with his son, and I think anyone that has children that they've raised children can relate to this story that he so beautifully wrote about how he had these traditions where he always watched football with his son, and they would go to these certain things and hang out and do things. So they went Friday night under the lights, Gloucester High football, and they're up in the stands, and he noticed his son was like looking over towards the concession. And there's a couple of his buddies over there, and he kept on looking at his dad and looking at his buddies, and his dad kind of figured out that the son had this push and pull tug that he felt guilty saying that he wanted to go hang out with his buddies instead of hanging out with his dad. And the way John wrote it, I think anyone could relate to, and I just want to thank really, John for sharing that with us.
Really pulled at your heartstrings. It was beautiful.
It really was beautiful. It was unbelievable. Pat, you mentioned Judy Robinson Cox will be hosting a book signing Saturday, October 20th from 1 to 4 mm-hmm. at the Square Circle Gallery in Rockport. The book is Finding Lilliput, a photographic story for the young at heart.
Yes, she's an artist. She displays at the Gallery 53, and she does these miniature scenes. Mm. Scenes with miniatures in them.
Yes.
They're whimsical.
I put some photos up.
Is that a good description?
A while ago. There is an older post about
that,
about her, her work. You can see photos of it. They're beautiful. I love them.
My children loves them.
Yeah.
So that I mean, did you describe it already? Because I was just looking at the show notes.
Yes.
So are you familiar with Judy Robinson Cox's work?
Yeah.
Judy Robinson Cox is a kind of like a Rocky Neck. She's big art gallery kind of denizen. She's always bouncing around down there. But her work is micro. What is that kind of photography? Macro.
Right.
So she has these macro shots where she sets up a lot of times food with these
little tiny people
depicting scenes. And it could be like a seafaring scene with like a whaler and like some kind of lettuce or something like forming a wave, or them on the precipice of mountain climbers climbing up, and peas are involved, or you know, there's all this different stuff. They're all, anything that she puts out, she does not put, I put out schlock. A lot of times, I'll be the first to admit, I put out some schlock. Not so much arts-wise, but like producing the blog, sometimes I'm not checking for spelling and stuff like that. Whatever.
Very meticulous.
Whatever she puts out
yeah.
is yeah. always on point. She's a gift to the arts community in our
city. She's one of the people who are there who always exhibits all the time at Gallery 53. Gallery 53 is part of the Rocky Neck Cultural Center, I believe, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Are they a subset of it?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if they would, it was
like
one different group, but there was a lot of overlap.
Yes.
She's fabulous. We talked about Jen Brooks on the podcast, or we talked about it in the show notes.
We talked about it on the podcast.
Okay, Kim, your interview with PBS Autumn Watch New England airs this Friday about the Monarchs on Cape Ann. Very exciting.
Yes, very excited. And we're pretty sure it's Friday. I have an email out to the BBC producers to find out. But Patty Pappas heard it in a commercial for the show on PBS. So she thinks it's Friday. So it'd be Friday or the 17th, 18th, and 19th. Is when the live show is going to air, and my interview is on the Friday of that week at 8:00.
Fantastic! Congratulations.
That's so cool.
It's a great honor.
Yeah.
The Mass Oyster Project, in conjunction with Maritime Gloucester, released 50,000 baby oysters into Annisquam River, which is very exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And so they've been raising them all summer long at Maritime Gloucester, and. They're at the right stage where they're only like the size of a nickel right now, but they've been released in right under
a nickel is a good size.
Yeah, it's a good size, and they were released under the Andrew Pyatt Bridge. Did I say that right? I never know if I'm saying it right.
Andrew Pyatt.
And so they, in about 3 years, they'll be big enough
to harvest.
To harvest, so they have to be about 3 inches. That's the standard size.
It's
inches.
About time.
Yeah.
I'm tired talking about Duxbury oysters.
No.
I hate the South Shore. I hate the South Shore. I'm petty like that. I hate the South Shore.
You're right. We want to have Gloucester oysters.
Gloucester oysters, damn right. I want local. You want to talk about local? I want local oysters.
Well, local, and also, oysters oysters filter the water. So they're just an incredible asset to the environment. They're really.
Okay, you know how I give you assignments?
Yes.
You want your latest assignment?
Sure.
What do you think it is? Take a guess. Take
something
a wild stab in the dark.
Something about oysters.
No, it's about to get these people on so they can talk about it more, more in depth.
Okay, yeah.
You can do that?
Yep, I can. Okay, I'm going
to
put it.
Because I'd like to get the new director of Maritime Gloucester in here because he reached out to me and said he'd like to come on the podcast, so
yes.
I know we could get him.
And he's mentioned it at a couple events also. So,
yeah,
and
so get him in here.
He's very effusive.
Yes, he'd be a great guest.
He'd be great.
Yeah. So. He's much like the new guy at
Gloucester Stage. Chris.
Exactly.
Yes.
Chris, exactly. Craziest thing ever, who knew that there was porcupines living in the wild on
Cape
Ann?
I know.
So
I got sent
a photo.
Yes, so from a person who regularly sends me photos about beautiful wildlife that she's seen around, DB, and she lives over in Essex, and she caught a capture of a little porcupine. It was a small one, because a full-grown porcupine is pretty big, almost as big as a beaver. And but she found one moseying along the road in Essex. And
you guys ever hear of anything like that?
Did you ever hear porcupines?
I've never seen one.
Well, they're very common in the western part of the state and the central part of the state, not so much in the eastern part of the state. So, it's pretty... Maybe we'll get more. I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Well, I'm not excited about porcupines because I feel like they could stab me.
Well, the quills are very the quills are very dangerous because
I don't want to step on a porcupine.
There's something you should know. Everybody should know this in case they get quilled, because it can be very, very serious. Because when the porcupine quills you, the quills go in and then they start to expand. From the heat.
Okay, can you explain to me why you're excited for a porcupine explosion?
because they're beautiful and not that many people get quilled. You have to really interfere with what it's doing.
But you can't really be like a porcupine hugger.
Yeah, you can't be a porcupine hugger.
And if I read your post correctly, you're also hoping the bears are going to come.
I do hope bears.
She's all in on the bears.
Anything
that could kill us.
I'm a little concerned about the bear thing.
Very concerned. No.
Yeah.
Don't be concerned. Humans, no. Animals, yes.
No. Bears.
Put them all in Kim's backyard.
Yeah. In my teeny tiny postage stamp. Yeah. So, do you want to know what to do if you get quilled? Because it's you don't want to pull the quills out. You want to pull them out at the angle that they went in, because they have little spears at the end.
Oh, so I understand. They're kind of like barbs, so that when they go in nice and easy, and then they come like this.
Yes.
So they would rip your whole...
Right. So you have to
That sounds great. I think we should really encourage the proliferation
of
porcupines.
You have to get them out within a certain amount of time so you don't get poisoned.
The faster you get... Well, your skin can get very irritated and infected. The faster you get them out, the better.
Oh, my. Lions and tigers, bears. Oh my! Lions and tigers,
they
bears. Oh my!
Man,
yes.
They shoot them at.
Yes.
Yeah.
They shoot.
Right.
Bears.
Yeah,
the bears thing. Yeah,
don't
you think that's exciting?
I have trouble with the coyotes. I don't even want to know about bears.
Nope.
I think it's easier to live with bears than coyotes. Seriously, coyotes have done a lot of. Nobody can have pets.
You think it's easier to live with coyotes? If we had the same number of bears as coyotes, you think it's easier to live with coyotes?
Well, we wouldn't have that many. We wouldn't have the same number of bears because they're very territorial. So you wouldn't have the same. The males would.
Coyotes run away from you. The bears want to eat you.
Yeah, the bears look at you.
I don't understand. You're such a wildlife expert. For being such a wildlife expert, you
bears
seem so backwards
to...
with this chain of who wants to eat you and not eat you and kill you.
No, bears don't want
to
eat you. The only time time.
Bears don't want to eat you?
No.
I'm going to pull up some YouTube video. Bear attacks. You tell me you are. I love these people. You're like the guy that the rustles the alligators and say that they're harmless. And he gets eaten and killed by the alligator.
No, no. Grizzly bears are different. We're talking about black bears. Black bears.
Oh, they're cuddly. Yeah. They're wonderful. Yes.
So, yeah. The only time a black bear is dangerous. The only time a black bear is dangerous is if you get between the black bear and its cub. Then it's dangerous.
Right, right. That's right. Pat, you're volunteering at Cape Ann Stage, I hear?
Yes, yes.
And I heard that you're going to be in charge of dispensing of the booze?
Gloucester State, yes.
Which I said is the equivalent of the fox guarding the hen house.
When Heidi asked me last
you
week...
Have to see, okay, now I'm pulling into question your managerial skills to put such a hardcore imbiber in charge of the wine distribution.
We trust her. We trust her. We know she will represent Gloucester Stage Company in a wonderful manner. What you do is you empower the people, you know? Like I do it with the kids. You empower, you trust them. And they rise to the occasion.
There we go.
The crime. You know? The cream always
rises. Well, and who knows? Thank you, Heidi.
Who knows? She may be a heavy pourer, too. I don't know. That might be a good thing.
Like we always say, the best place for an alcoholic to go is Gloucester Stage. You tell your wife, I'm just going to see the wonderful play, the Simon Geller play. You go hide. It's all dark in the back there, and you just pound booze the whole time. No one even knows, and there you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's a wonderful show, though. I went yesterday.
Here's your segment.
Enjoyed it very much. Yeah.
How do you like that? We have, we have two Kens here. Ken Riaff, Ken Bouton. And Ken plays Simon Geller.
That's right.
And Ken Riaff, what inspired you to write?
You know, I'm still trying to figure that out, but I mean, you know, the 1 minute response is that, you know, this is somebody who had a very interesting story, and I just wanted to tell it. So it's almost as simple as that. I mean, we did a film back in 1990, Henry Farini, Judd Wilson, we did a film about Simon. And so this is sort of...
Was he in it?
Simon.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure he was.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we went around town, talked to people about, you know, their interactions with him, and then we went down and interviewed him. So that film got shown on WGBH and got a little play at some festivals. So, but it's a while ago, and just since then, was thinking about how to pull that story into a one-person stage performance.
Mm-hmm. Pat, you went last night.
You
went yesterday afternoon, and Kim went last night.
And
from both of you, what you said,
it was
Ken Bouton was on the stage for over an hour.
Yes.
Basically a monologue for over an hour.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Over an hour? No, 100 minutes.
100 minutes. An hour and 40 minutes. What kind of a brain do you have to be able to process?
Yeah.
How long how long have you had to prepare for this? When did you get the first script in your hand?
Well, the first time we did it was last summer when we did a reading of it at the Never Dark series at Gloucester Stage Company. And usually readings don't attract that many people on a Sunday night.
This maybe about 40 people.
Okay.
20 to 40 people normally.
That night, it was standing room only. Over 300 people showed up. And most of them were past 50.
You knew you had something.
Yeah, they knew they were interested in knowing more about who this guy was. Yeah. Because, I imagine because he was a bit of an enigma, and why not, you know, here's a man who speculated considerably about the internal workings of Simon Geller, because you only had an external view of him as being something of a curmudgeon. But you see a real human being underneath all of that, a very deeply dark and bothered and loving human being in many ways. You wouldn't know it from, you know, the history of listening to him. So we did it there. It was so popular, even some people in the lobby afterwards said, this was like having a memorial service.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I was very eager to do this, and Ken and I were sort of hucking on there on the administration Bob and Jeff Zinn to do this thing, and then they ended up saying, all right, let's do it. One of the funny things was when Bob Walsh initially talked to me about the show, even before, I think it was around the reading, he said, Ken, I think you're the only guy I can think of who could play this part. And I said, okay, let me go look at the guy. He he's such a grubby looking guy.
You didn't know how to take that, did you?
I've did two other shows at Glasgow Stage, right? And one of them was called Three Hotels back in 1995. And the one reviewer came and said, and Ken Bolton, who is unprepossessing as an actor. And I had to go look that one up. And found out, oh, okay, that means not possessive of genetic, you know, a kind of, you know, a basic qualities. And then Bob Walsh says, you're perfect for this part. I said, well, it's me. So, so then I did it. And part of it is that I have two relatives who are very much Gellerish types. Mm-hmm. Not the same exact thing at all. One was an older cousin of mine was a radio guy back in New York and New Jersey, and also the black sheep of his family. And he kind of disappeared one day. Sort of got married to a woman who fell in love with his voice. And, you know, that's something you never do. It's not the voice of the person. And she spirited him up to northern Vermont. And we didn't hear from him again for years and years and years and years. And we figured he had just gone away. And some of the stories that his brother, my cousin, told us about him, suggested that he was really being taken advantage of up there. Turns out he got brain cancer at one point. Oh, and his brother said, Ken, you want to come up and visit to the nursing home where he is? I said, absolutely. We went up there and we saw him. While we were there, he said, Bruce, my cousin, said, well, I got to go and get some clothes. I can't get anything here at this nursing home. We went out to Barrie and the Montpelier, and wherever we went, people came to see him.
Wow.
They wanted to see, how you doing, Bruce? He was a local legend, and nobody knew this down in New Jersey where I was living at the time.
Yeah.
It was stunning. And it turned out he had become something of a true altruist, and a supporter of high school sports, and he had a radio show. His moniker was Norman Nostalgia. He did sports talk and talk radio, you know, a lot of politics, and people just loved him. He got a gala going in support of the Gulf War and getting all the veterans in town to sort of work in Night of a Thousand Flags, I think he called it, and people came to give eulogies at his funeral that were just endless.
Wow.
And this was my cousin, who everybody thought he was just nothing. So
you have that in you.
I have that. Yeah. I have something there that wants to do a testimonial for him, you know, and Geller just touches me. Yeah. So, you know.
Perfect combo.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. It was sort of worked out that way. So Geller is a very interesting guy.
Pat, hearing that, Does your view of what you witnessed yesterday change at all?
Yeah, a bit. If I'm looking at your performance through that story, you know, filtering that story in, I said to Joey when I got here, he said, you must be exhausted after every performance. You must just be completely wiped. I don't know how you would do two in a day. Never mind the one.
Right.
And so I think that you do, that does come out in your performance.
Yeah.
The tribute to your family.
Yeah.
Because you do get that isolated feeling and that people outside of the immediate area didn't have the same connection to Simon like you said about your cousin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that comes through. You do a great job with that.
Thanks. Yeah. The story
is a great way to tell it.
Yeah, he kind of, same kind of thing happened with Simon, apparently. I mean, he was doing what he was doing down in New Jersey and New York, and he was more of a technician than anything. And then he just sort of disappears and materializes here and sort of, you know, discovers something about himself, I guess, or maybe even discovered about himself, but he provided some kind of a gift to the area that was not intended to be given. But he did it anyway because he was utterly authentic.
I come to the show without any former knowledge of Simon Geller or stories, nothing. I didn't know.
She's from upstate New York, so she, she started to...
Right. So this really provided me with that story, and I can... But there were so many people around me I just knew at the show yesterday that just seemed to know the story and were really appreciating certain pieces of it. They were laughing at certain parts or reacting to certain parts, and I'm like, well, that's, that must be something everybody but me knows. And, you know, so it obviously has hit a nerve, several nerves.
Ken.
There were a lot of young people in the audience last night, too. It wasn't just, a lot of 20 to 30-year-olds there last night.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting.
So, Ken, do you want to give a little synopsis for people that might, like Pat, that might
not...
Well,
I don't want to do any spoiler things,
right.
But, Yeah, I mean, it's a character study, in a way, and so, you know, and character is defined by the choices that people make under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we put him in a pressure situation, and we see how he reacts, and then we know, you know, not the surface, you know, there's core, you know, integrity, all these things that make up character, and he's put to the test, and so that's the sort of through line of the play. Starts out in his normal life, and then somebody challenges his license, and he has to fight back. He's like counterpuncher. He's not looking for a fight. Somebody, you know, comes and that's what he does. He counterpunches, and he does that pretty much all the way through, and comes to find out that that there are people out there that support what he's doing, and they come to his aid. You might say rescue, but you know, there's a point in time where he figures out that he's not alone.
Mm.
And from there, it just goes to the point in time where he leaves the station. And I'll leave it at that, because, I mean, that's basically the... And there's a lot of things that happen to him in between, but that's the sort of basic plot line. And, you know, for dramatic purposes, you condense these things because the true events stretched out over a long period of time. So it's all very compressed, and that's, you know, that makes it pretty tight.
Had you ever written anything?
Yeah, I write things. I have. You know, I've written screenplays, and again, work with Henry on. We did this documentary, The Polis Is This. I don't know if you saw that. That's the Charles Olson with John Malkovich in it and Pete Seeger. So I've been writing with Henry on other projects, and I'm working on another play, a new play, For Whom the Ball Rolls, which is a basketball story set in the 50s down at the Navy Yard in Charlestown.
Wow.
Yeah, all about race and privilege and rank and, you know, point in time where...
In Charlestown. Geez.
Yeah, in Charlestown. Yeah. You know what was going on.
Gritty,
there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's it. Yeah, so I do write, and I do.
Can I ask you when... can you still see your film? Your documentary
about
Tom Gallagher? Can you see
yeah,
that on
thanks
YouTube
for asking.
Or something like that?
So here's the story. Henry Farini was driving by Geller's old place one day years back.
Is that the one? Is that on Duncan Street?
No, he was on Duncan Street, but this is when he had moved to the car wash above Maplewood at Maplewood Avenue.
Okay.
So he was broadcasting from there, and of course, you know, you could always hear the train and the crossing. You could hear it over the
ding ding.
So Henry's driving by, and he sees they're putting in the dumpster all of Geller's tapes. You know, just he moved out of it, throwing out all the stuff. So Henry gets it, he takes it, and it keeps in his basement for about 20 years. Just this, you know, reel to reel.
Yeah, yeah.
But they had recorded, it was basically the whole thing. So some folks come along, and they're fans of the station, and they take all these tapes and they digitize them.
Wow.
Wow.
And this is like a big project, took a long time, and they've recreated the station on the internet at a website called WVCA.com. And so if you go there, you can see the film. It's called Radio Fishtown.
Right.
Robert J. Lertzema.
Do you want to write this down, Kim?
Yeah.
Yeah, Robert J. Lertzema, who was the host of Morning Pro Musica on down in Boston, he does some narration on it. And basically, there's air checks that you can listen to of Simon Geller. You can read the news. And by the way, the story, even though it's here, it was in the Wall Street Journal. It was in Time Magazine. It was in the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Boston Globe, UPI. You know, it just went around the world because it was this story about this small town, little guy getting stepped on, and people took that to be a David and Goliath kind of,
right.
And people like those things. So anyway, all those articles, all the air checks, the film,
it's all
on WVCA.com.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll have the link to
yeah.
And music. Yeah.
WVCA.com.
V
right.
V is Invicta.
When is it going through?
So it runs through October 28th, and Wednesday through Saturday at 7:30, and then Saturday and Sunday are the matinees at 2 p.m. And Bob Walsh, who we've spoken about today, I don't know if we've said, he is directing the show as well. So he's been in a lot of plays set in Gloucester and directed a few, so... This is really...
How much directing do you have to do when there's one cast member?
Well,
there's more than one cast member.
Although Ken and Bob did spend a lot of time together in rehearsal.
Yeah. Well, the main function of the director in this case is to protect me from a playwright.
How true. I didn't know that.
The playwright, has done a really nice job of kind of bringing the community in to Simon, and kind of having different representations of people from the community. And it kind of gives you a fuller picture of how people felt about him and what they did through someone else's eyes. And it gives you a nice picture of Simon, the way he reacts to people. You kind of learn.
I have so many, like before this, I didn't have as many questions as I have after
seeing.
I have to listen to you guys.
Well, that means you have to come to see the show.
That's exactly what my point is. I kind of knew about Simon Geller, but I kind of, it was like, maybe it was a little bit before my time, or maybe I was just too active chasing girls at the time that he was relevant.
Right.
What's interesting to me is something that is not just a pre-canned, this is a good guy, this is a bad guy, every action that they take is,
right.
you
no,
know,
right.
is so transparent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, this guy
yeah.
seems like there's so many different layers.
Yes.
And
I think you would
you know what I mean? It just seems so
like
interesting. And I'd love to know more about, you know, the motivation. Was it money, ultimately? Did he really care about the music, or was this just his vehicle?
Right.
Like, I have, like, so many questions
yeah.
right now that I really would like to know.
Yeah.
That I feel like I have to go see it.
Yeah.
Because it was a big part of the city.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it also takes you, there are bits and pieces of the documentary in the stage show as well. Kind of
right.
give you a fuller picture.
Yeah, I loved that.
In the play. And it's really
yeah,
done.
Yeah.
It's really done inventively, which you know, goes to the creative team at the theater.
Oh my God, that set is amazing.
Yeah,
yeah,
the set designer did an amazing job.
And also the sound design. Was
mm-hmm.
spectacular.
Yeah, and
spectacular.
That's a big part. If you don't have a great
yeah.
sound designer for
this type of show, right?
You don't have a show, you know,
yeah.
you really don't.
So
yeah. But as you know how important sound is. But
with my fucking shitty mic, it keeps on crapping out on us.
But we have, there's three ensemble members.
Maybe
in
we
could
do a GoFundMe page for a real microphone.
There's
you know how I always shit on people that do GoFundMe pages? I am like there's certain restaurants that have they're very wealthy people that have GoFundMe pages to have a pizza kitchen, and they already have a totally established restaurant, and they're like, GoFundMe, and you can get a pizza for if you donate $100. So anyway.
Well, I just wanted to say there are three ensemble members who kind of help Ken out and give him a little respite at some point, because the play also takes you to Washington, D.C., to, you know, we have Veronica Weissman, who's a Boston actress, who was in a show called The Last Schwartz a couple of years ago, who plays...
Oh, that's where I was looking at her going, like, what was she in before?
With Paul Melendi, who everyone loves, the
yeah.
naked guy.
The naked guy.
Yeah.
Forever to be known as the naked guy.
And, you know, she plays someone from a legal defense fund, and she also plays a Gloucester woman who comes to
give him soup.
And Jimmy Tarantino, who a lot of people know in Gloucester and who's a Gloucester guy. He plays several characters, a mailman, a fisherman, things like that. And then my personal favorite in the cast, sorry, Ken, Megan Gallo, who is one of my students, who's a junior in Gloucester. She's a junior at Gloucester High School. Yeah. And she plays a young girl who comes and wants to help Simon save the station.
Yeah, that was a very sweet moment. Mm-hmm.
So, and it really
I'm more inspired to go see this than any other ones that we've had in here this whole summer.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, go see it.
I don't know, because I don't know. It's just
it's a local story that you would love it, I think. You
one,
would love it.
One of my
especially
students.
Especially podcast, radio. Mm.
Exactly. Yeah. I think you would really relate to it.
People have seen as such a cantankerous guy, though.
No.
And, you know, honestly, at the time...
And I hope I don't have the characteristics
There's no frozen...
But honestly, at the time, when Geller was given the FM signal, it was like, oh, it's a throwaway. Everyone hates FM. It's not going to amount to anything. So it was like, just to the kind of shut him up and get the... And so he was... And he made something of it.
Oh, wow.
So it's almost like you started a podcast. Everyone's like, oh, boy, who's going to... What's going to happen with a podcast?
Brick by brick.
So it's very, you know, very similar, different points in time, mm-hmm. but very, very similar.
You can draw some parallels.
A bunch of my students went to see the show this weekend. Of course, they all want to support Megan because we love her. To them, it's the show starring Megan. They look at the video clip in the lobby during class, because we have class in the lobby. During class, all the kids sit and watch the video clip to wait to see Megan appear on the screen.
Nice.
But they had said, what did you think of the show? They said, oh, we really loved it. It was great. Megan's terrific. You know, the acting is great. And then they said, and I also learned a really lot about Gloucester and Gloucester's history.
Fantastic. It's running again through when?
October 28th. Get your tickets.
I'll put a link in the show notes to where you can...
And next Sunday, after the show, will be a talk back. So if anybody...
Both
of
you guys
are going to
be there? Both Kens?
I'll be there.
Ken Squared will be there. And
so, oh, maybe I should go to that one because, oh, I can't because I work on Sundays, but so many questions that I have.
Yeah, and
Saturday, you could.
There's no talk back on Saturday. There's
no
talk
back
on Sunday.
Right.
Well, here's the thing, too, that
Henry Farini should film the talk back. That would be a tremendous. How come you don't reach out to KPN TV and have them film the talk back?
I will try. Yes.
Is that not a tremendous marketing idea?
That's amazing.
Everybody would.
Actually, we could film it at the theater. Chris, we have.
Yeah, Chris does.
Who
things.
Does the video? We do.
All you have
to
do is set up the camera and let it rip. But I mean, people.
Heidi, you are such a slacker.
I know.
Don't you do anything there? Hello?
God. 25 kids with swords yesterday. You know.
In the show notes.
I just want to say, you don't have to go to the Sunday matinee to go to the talk back. If someone has been to another show during the past few weeks, or you want to go to a show, and you're interested in the talk back, the show is over 2 to 3:30. The show's over about 4 o'clock, let's say. And you can come, wait for the show to be over, and come in for the talk back. They're free and open to the public.
There you go.
Okay.
Thank you. Again, in the show notes, we'll have a link where you can buy the tickets at the Gloucester Stage website. Thank you guys for coming in.
You're welcome.
Our last topic, Cape Ann Museum. Catherine, what's going on at the Cape Ann Museum?
Well, I wanted to give a congratulations out to Cape Ann Museum for bringing attention to Gloucester and the museum. They've had back-to-back Boston Globe call-outs. So at the beginning of October, they received $375,000 for the Bar Common Massachusetts Arts Initiative grant. It's $25 million to 29 arts organizations. And it's just them and Lynn and Malden for North of Boston.
Wow.
Everybody else is Boston and Western Mass.
That's tremendous.
So, that was all through the Globe. And then in today's paper, they're in an article about shows inspired by children's books. And the Virginia Lee Burton show is opening November 3rd. And it's called out as a show that you must see, along with Ernest Shepherd, the Winnie the Pooh exhibit that's at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. So I think it's tremendous.
It is tremendous.
Yeah.
As we say, ad nauseum. If you haven't been there, you're crazy. It's
such a gift to our community.
Such a gem.
Yeah.
If you, it's like,
they do a great job.
How do we continue to say it with and sound surprised when we say it? Because we truly believe.
Yeah.
Well, you have to go through it again because like the blog has had a life of 11 years now, right? And so there's themes that we are recurring themes, and we talk about certain places, and we've done it. And I feel like we have to keep talking about it,
right.
The same
yeah.
subjects with the same enthusiasm. And we truly believe that the KPM Museum is an incredible gem. And like, and we say, it's like a canned speech. I should just record it and play it every time we talk about it. But if you haven't been, because a lot of people go when they're younger, and if you haven't been, and then you go as an adult, you're blown away.
You can go again and again. And they always have some new beautiful exhibit. It's always evolving. Always.
I think it's KPM Museum. I think it's also true with Gloucester Stage. So I think they're really, you know,
yeah.
they're presenting nationally recognized, you know, programming and,
oh,
and world class.
And they got that Jeff Marshall one.
Yes,
the Jeff Marshall
do.
Show.
Yeah, you know the Jeff Marshall one?
No.
Jeff Marshall's a fantastic contemporary artist, and his show, I don't have the end date, but he's overlapping. So.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Katie's show is also up, so there's a tremendous line work right now at the museum
right.
to go see.
So,
wow.
So Jeff, his studio is over at Moore Sibley,
mm-hmm.
and he looks down on that, and he paints the trucks, you know, draws
mm-hmm.
the trucks that are in the lot there from the guys that are going out.
The fishermen, the Santa Paulas, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, it's really interesting. Because it's just
what a good
you know,
what an interesting perspective.
It's an interesting perspective on you know the
yeah.
the workhorses that people leave in the lot when they hit the wharf, you know, to go out, and
yeah.
it's right down the street from you. So you
no, I know it's
you
the
got
same
it right
scene
here too.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, I know. It's funny, you know, when to me it's
to you it's like
right. No, because I take photos of so here's a parallel the winch. Right, this winch that my grandfather used,
yeah.
my father, my uncle used, my cousin and I used, that is offloaded, not exaggerating,
no.
hundreds of millions of
yeah.
pounds, not millions of pounds, yeah. hundreds of millions of pounds, and it's worn and it had refilled with bronze and it's completely I don't know what's holding it together. The rust is holding it together, but it's still.
Mm.
So we just retired it last week. A month ago now, right? And we replaced it with a hydraulic winch. But I had done photographic studies of this over the years of the blog, over the last 10 years. And like I understand that people appreciate these photos of this rusted old winch. To me, it represents my back is broken and I'm fucking exhausted. But I serve it up to people that appreciate it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
From my perspective, I'm looking at it as I can't wait for the fucking slow season where I can go to Naples, Florida and sit on a beach and be the furthest place away from that fucking winch. But at the same time, I can appreciate that my grandfather used this winch, my father used this winch, and, you know. The joke is, what are we going to do when it's all over? Like, what are you going to do with that iconic winch? Are you going to put it in your front yard? Because, like,
yeah.
it to me, it truly belongs at the Cape Ann Maritime Heritage Center.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
that worn,
yeah.
the groove in the head of the winch.
Yes.
And everything.
Well said.
Yeah.
Your grandmother, Felicia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Felicia.
That's my neighbor. Or was.
On Tolman Ave?
Yeah.
Oh, there you
I
go.
I live right across the way from that.
Yeah. Was your mother a piano teacher?
That's next door. That's Nelson. That's
yeah.
Nelson.
I took piano lessons from her.
Oh, from her, right.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
that was a great neighborhood.
Yeah, it's a good fishing neighborhood. Yes,
there
sir.
You go. Well, anyway, we're going to wrap it up now. We're right around, we're just over an hour. Ken and Ken, thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
Very interesting. Great guest. You're welcome anytime. You don't. You can come in, you especially, and you both can come in anytime. It doesn't have to do with plays because you're both very interesting gentlemen.
Oh, thank
thanks so much for coming
this
in.
Was great.
Heidi, thank you
thanks
as
so
always.
Thank
Pat, Kat, and Kim, my
thanks,
partners
John.
In crime. I'm looking forward to our Thanksgiving feast minus the frozen
right.
corn.
Yeah.
GlosterCast 302 is in the books.